The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. And on their way they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. Now when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want me to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and then went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Faithful in the call.
Can you hear the master's
Anybody see the irony of the choir moving up into the loft and then singing "Don't Look Back"? Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you have gone to one of those vacation rental presentations just to get the gift they offer? Yep, and how many times has it just been a disaster? You know, you think, you know, was it really worth to get those two tickets to Disneyland to sit through an hour and a half of high pressure? You gotta buy this now. And I thought, there's a real comparison to what Jesus is saying here. When the time comes, you either make the change, you either come and follow me, and if you don't do it now, you're going to go back to your old ways. And they've discovered that in those sales presentations. You know, if you don't buy now, you don't get all these incentives. And the truth is, if you go home with all the material, you're probably not going to go back. Because you realize I don't really need to make that change or want to make that change. And if you don't make the change on the spot, change doesn't happen. You know, I've seen that most dramatically in interventions with alcoholics. An intervention is when family and friends gather together and they confront an alcoholic with all of their actions and the hurts that those actions have caused over the years. And after the friends have gathered, the purpose is not to put the person down. The purpose is to create change. And by confronting them with their families, they're given an option to change. You can either go to rehab or you're going to lose the support of your family and friends. It's that moment in life that can make such a huge change. And those that go to the rehab and overcome their alcoholism, it changes their lives for the good. But change is hard. And I think Jesus in our text recognizes that. If you don't do it now, if you walk away and bury the dead, if you walk away and take care of family business, you're not coming back to Jesus. And so when he calls you, you've got to respond to that call when Jesus makes the call to change. And so Jesus in our text today had followers and onlookers. They were gathering around to hear them, and he said to them, "Follow me." And again, people made excuses. Why? Okay, I'll follow you, but first let me go back. First let me do this. First let me do that. And then Jesus said, you know, if you don't put your hand to the wheel, you know, if you don't put your hand on the plow, you're not coming back. He knew better. Because the truth is, it's hard to change. We're creatures of habit. We don't like to change. You know, when we do the combined service here, there's always a little bit of unsettling because it's different. And not everybody gets to sit in their spot. I mean, I almost didn't recognize the Nemetses over here on this side. They're always on the other side. You don't get your spot. We like our spot. We don't want to change it. And it's the liturgy too, you know, the liturgy. Every time you come out with a new hymnal, there's so much grumbling. Ah, it's not the one I learned. Oh, it's awful. Even the new Lord's Prayer, I'm one that's slow to change. I think the words are better in the new Lord's Prayer, but it's not the one I grew up saying. I want to keep doing the one that I'm comfortable with. We are people that don't like change. It's just who we are. And yet Jesus challenges us to make a change, to come and follow him. And if we haven't done it in the past, each time there is a time for worship, each time we read the scriptures, it's an opportunity to hear God's word and to follow it. Come, follow me. Now, for many of us, being Christian wasn't a change. I was one of those raised in the church, baptized as a child, wanted to be a pastor all my life, and for many of you, church isn't a change. Church is what's comfortable. It's what you've grown up with. But others have had to come into the church and not knowing Jesus and leaving a life that was either self-serving and wasn't lived for the glory of God. And although change can sometimes be hard to make, We've witnessed so many people here who have answered that call. We change from being people who simply live for ourselves to people who live for God, who have accepted God's love and grace in our lives, and we say when we follow Jesus, we want to take that love and share it in the world with others. You know, this congregation has a mission statement, and it's printed every week in your Redeemer Weekly. Do you realize that? Every week, your mission statement of this church is in the Redeemer Weekly. And if you go there, it says to spread the good news to all through joyful worship and service, so that others may believe and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Our Redeemer lives. Well, today we're fulfilling one part of that mission, and that is joyful worship. This Sunday, as we celebrate our music, we celebrate it's more than just a celebration of music. It's a celebration of ministry, because music is a tool that leads us to joyful worship. Ministry is a tool that leads us to joyful worship. And that's what it's about. We don't come here just to hear fine music. You will hear good music here. But if you come here and walk away and all you think about is the good music, then the choir hasn't accomplished its purpose. Then the music hasn't accomplished its purpose. Because the music is there to lead us to joyful worship, to remind us of the gracious God we encounter in Jesus Christ. And so we give thanks today for great music. You know, this is the best church choir I've ever been associated with and does a tremendous job. I can't believe at John's age, not to say how old he is, but to watch his fingers fly across a piano marvels me. I don't know how a 20-year-old could do it, let alone as we get older and arthritis sets in and he can still play the piano and the organ the way he does. What a great gift. But more than the music is their commitment to joyful worship, because that's the mission, and our choir and our music ministry helps us fulfill one aspect of what it means to follow Jesus, to offer him praise in joyful worship, and we do it. And you know, when you get this choir doesn't just practice music. When the choir gathers, they have devotions together. When the choir gathers, they pray for each other, because they realize they're not just here for music, they're here to lead us. It's a ministry, because joyful music is intended to lead to joyful worship. The other thing about our music, if you didn't notice with that text or the music just sung before this sermon, Don't Look Back is once again based on our gospel lesson, the words right from Jesus. And if you pay attention throughout the year, you'll find that Anne and the choir does a lot to pick music so it all comes together. So when there is a theme like Jesus has in our text today, follow me, it's something that is reinforced in the music that is sung. And so we give thanks for the music ministry, for both their quality of music and their focus on joyful worship. You know, there are so many things here in Southern California that we can go follow after. You know, you can go to the beach and you can enjoy the sun and waves. You can go to the mountains and you can enjoy hiking and skiing. You can end up being in any one of the school parks around here with children who are playing soccer full time. But today Jesus calls you and he says to you and to me, follow me. And the primary way we follow him is through joyful worship and the celebration of his grace in our lives. So sing a new song. Engage in joyful worship and follow Jesus. Amen.